Hello and welcome to the Naptown Blues Fancast, a weekly roundup of your Annapolis Blues FC playing in the Mid-Atlantic Division of the NPSL. I am your host, Sam Houston, and across the way from me, the YHF, my co-host, Mr. Hiram Wainwright. How are we doing, sir?
Chelsea are in Europe, so I'm doing great.
how did that happen?
You know what?
How did it happen?
Because of one ice-cold young man by the name of Cole Palmer. That's how.
Yeah. Well, it might also just have something to do with the fact that Manchester United are a bunch of frauds. That might have something to do with it, too.
Well, yeah. Well, that also helps with Cole Palmer when he gets your hat trick in like the last 30 minutes of a match, too. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your podcast platform of choice. Please take a moment and leave a review and share with your footballing friends. You can also follow the show at Twitter, not X, at Twitter, at Naptown Blues Pod. And for tickets, go to AnnapolisBlues.com.
Very good. We have a tradition, dare I say an obligation here at the DU Public House, to have our drink in our hand with this show and every single show. What are we drinking today?
We are drinking some nice coffee with some whiskey, specifically Portland coffee with some Westward whiskey. Preferably, I am a very sweet tooth type of guy, so I like my coffee with three creams, preferably French vanilla, just because I am a very much a sweet type of guy.
You're a young hot freshness. That's what's up.
That's how I keep the hotness.
Where me, being a gentleman of larger carriage, don't need those extra calories, I drink my coffee the way I act, bold and bitter. I just do whiskey and coffee, but of course that is Westward Whiskey based out of Portland, Oregon. Obviously, it's the brand that I represent. 100% malted barley, bottle distilled there. And yeah, great little whiskey. Run you about $70 to $75 on the shelf.
Nice.
So, and what do we always need to do, good sir?
Please drink responsibly.
Very good. So, full disclosure, everybody. This is going to be a bit of an interesting show because we are currently recording just after the Premier League season concluded. I have my primary show, the DU football show, that I need to make sure that I catch all those games for. Did a meetup with a few listeners of the show at the Dark Horse, which also supports the Annapolis Blues as well. And between that, this is on Sunday. There were games on Wednesday and then on Friday.
Yep.
And then as soon as we finish recording this first part, we are going to get in our car and drive out to Alexandria for the Reds match.
Beltway Derby.
Of which we're going to come back and record the rest of the show. So a bit of an interesting show today. So do bear with us. And we're also going completely blind. Normally we have a very well thought out curated show for us to talk about. But that, I have to say, it has a little bit to do with what we're going to be doing as a show moving forward. This is not going to be so much play-by-play anymore. This is going to be a little bit more personal opinions and takes of the matches and what we think as fans speaking to other fans. So understand, whenever we are critical of our side, critical of another side, or just kind of talk about the match as a whole, understand the opinions are our own. This is, as we know, Hiram is now with DC United, not with the club anymore. So this is very much our own opinion of what we thought of the match as fans.
Yeah. We might as well keep it real with you guys, of course. Even though we were typically keeping it real with you guys as I was with the club, but at the same time, it's a bit more off-filtered, if you will, though.
Yeah, this is fans. We're going to still... I am going to do my best to make this a family show. My other show, I say a lot of naughty words. So many naughty words. So we're obviously going to do our best here because we want kids to be able to enjoy and listen to the show, listen to it with the family, talk a little bit about formats and the way a team plays their game and being able to explain that to the younger generation on how a match goes. So with all that being said, we did open on Wednesday. It was not an official match. It was a friendly, but it was for the Community Shield, which we do each year. Attendance, we had darn near close to 6,300. It was like 6,231, I believe, was the number.
Yep.
And that was against the Baltimore...
Maryland Bobcats.
Maryland Bobcats, that's right. Based out of Baltimore, but the Maryland Bobcats, who are a professional side. So very good challenge for us as a club. And we ended up winning 3-1. Looked great.
Unfortunately, I wasn't present at that match due to other obligations.
Kind of had another job, another game to worry about.
I mean, it's not like I just had to do some marketing stuff for the team, but at the same time, I'm still Blues here and there. So.
Very good.
From what I've heard, of course, it definitely was a good turnout. Of course, the Blues cast definitely did show out, almost doubling the amount from last season's Community Shield, which also all the proceeds did go to the four following Community Shield partners, which was Every Child Through 65, Walter Walk Foundation, the Anne Arundel County Food Bank, and Warrior Events, of course.
The food bank is very, very easy to deal with. It's right over where the Crownsville Hospital is, and there's signs that tell you how to go back there. So whenever you got, say, some cans of food you don't think you're going to use, it's really not hard. Just throw it into a bag, take it on over there and drop it off, and they'll be able to make sure that that gets distributed to families that need food right away. Something that a lot of people tend to overlook when you talk about a food bank. You think, oh, food bank, it's feeding homeless.
Right.
No, it's feeding working poor, honestly. People who are forced to decide between, am I going to have lights on in my house or am I going to have food for my children?
Right.
And that's not a decision that anyone should have to make. And for me personally, the food bank is always a big, big charity that I always try to make sure I contribute to, because it's just not hard. I mean, frankly, go to your grocery store. The next time you buy some groceries, pick up 5 extra cans of something. Go by and drop it off. It's really not hard. And whatever your political affiliation is, wherever your brain goes, however you think, that's completely arbitrary here. You are able to help someone that is trying their damnedest to help themselves, but they need a little extra hand, and it's a great way to help.
Right. Not only that, of course, as you kind of highlighted, also for the kids as well, too, with both Every Child 365 and Walk the Walk, they definitely do help with the kids side of things, where myself personally, of course, working with the Blues previously, I was able to help with them close on a certain aspect where we were able to do Walk the Walk 6K alongside with other sponsors as well, too, but also that kind of tied in with like different community aspects from like a diaper drive or helping for kids prepare for the upcoming school year as well, too. Not only that, with Every Child 365, like, they also helped out with like donating presents for your kids for Christmas time.
That's fantastic.
They definitely did a lot throughout the Christmas season, so super shout out to them too. And also, we can't also forget the Warrior Events as well too. As you guys may have known, for those who tune the match as well too, they typically have a Warrior of the Match as well. They're normally the wounded veteran or a veteran as is who may be presented before the game, I believe after the national anthem as well too. So super shout out to all four community partners, and we're always looking to support them as much as we can.
Absolutely. As the game, for the most part, Maryland just kind of played back.
Yeah.
They put 11 behind the ball. And the thing you have to remember about this is a friendly, people were being subbed in every 20 minutes. You're basically making sure your whole roster plays. You, as a coaching staff, you kind of want to see what does your team offer, who's going to do what. Like, all three keepers played in this match.
Right.
Just everyone played. We did score right at the end of the first half. Would it shock you to hear that it was Jackson Ruckman doing a quick little touch in inside the box?
Who else but Jackson? Like,
that's what he does. Across the box. Oh, it's him. Yep, that's who scores. And from there, early on in the second half, Brill scored.
Yep.
And then I'm forgetting the final score, but this was, if I'm going to be critical to an extent, it's hard to be critical in this match. We were definitely on our heels for essentially 75 minutes until into extra time.
Yeah.
And we looked a little sloppy. We were having a hard time getting the ball out. It was a little just junky.
Mm-hmm.
And then right at the end, as we were in extra time, in fact, I would be remiss if I didn't say, like, hanging with the Bay Boys, we were all screaming for the referee to blow the whistle for like an entire minute until the ball poked out, fast break, boom, scored right at the end.
Yeah. Shout out to Mikey Ravel. I believe I'm saying his last name correctly. If I didn't, I apologize, Mikey, but no, he definitely did get the breakaway goal.
That was the final goal. Yep.
So, and also I saw on social media a lot, Mikey definitely has a great following as well too, from like different kids all around the community as well.
Oh,
too.
Fantastic.
So
good,
it was great to see, like, he has a good following from like, different youth clubs as well, but also just like his general background as a whole to help bring to the club as well.
It was great. We, the Bay Boys gave out flags to all the kids. The kids went berserk with the flags, which is exactly what we want every single time. Let the kids just run crazy with them. Kids, the only thing you have to do is return the flags, okay? We definitely saw some of our flags that were on the old PVC pipe that were definitely from last year that you definitely kept. And it's okay. It's okay. Things happen. Just let's make sure we return stuff. And of course, this will make your heart warm and happy. T-Rex was in the house.
Yes. I can't wait to see him again.
I love it. He's committing to the bit. I mean, now the problem is he understands is like as a grown man, if he's still in Annapolis, he's going to have to wear the T-Rex outfit.
Now, like, and here's here's an insider scoop. I might have shared this in previous episodes too. I actually spoke with his father prior to me departing the club as an employee, and he was there at one of the events that we had. I think it was with the Annapolis Soccer Club's futsal tournament we had. He came up to us talking about like his time joining the club, seeing the games, and then also his son happens to be the kid in the T-Rex suit. He even mentioned that there's going to be a certain other costume that may be presented at the game. So I'm not going to spoil it now. I'm going to wait until you guys see it. So definitely be on the lookout for that.
There definitely has to be a photo shoot of you and me with new costume.
Oh, 100%.
It has to happen. Has to happen.
100%.
And if he's cool with it, both of us will give a little autograph on costume too.
All right, I'd rather him autograph me. I don't care.
And that is going, like I said, great crowd. For a Wednesday night, the tailgate was jumping, tons of people. For anyone that is new to Blues matches or you don't have the time to put together your own tailgate and you just want to hang out, dead center of the back of the parking lot is where the Bay Boys are, and they have tons of flags out. There's alcohol, there's plenty of food, there is always more than enough food to be for everyone, and there may or may not be multiple bottles of whiskey, which you are more than welcome to help yourself to. I have no problem donating those and letting everybody have fun. And it was like a good little crew, about like a dozen people that were just kind of hanging out and talking whiskey and enjoying a few drams. And it was a lot of fun. So obviously on the family friendly side of things, this is a more adult conversation will be held there. So if you're not okay with your kids hearing a few naughty words, I would say stay away. Because I can't speak for other people, so I can't speak for myself. I'm the 50-year-old man who does not have children, so I speak freely and I will occasionally say the wrong words. So I have to watch myself constantly in that regards. But if you want a place to hang out, you want a place to meet other supporters of the club, people who know footy, also people that are just welcoming, it's a great little spot to hang out.
Absolutely. And if you want to meet a young hot freshness himself, young 24-year-old by then, well, I'm still 24 now, but that's not the point. I will also be offering the same thing I did last year. I believe it was I signed like a forehead or something like that.
A forehead. To be a forehead.
Yep, it has to be.
A grown adult's forehead.
25 and up.
Yeah, you have to be an adult. You know, college kids, you don't count because you'll do anything.
Frontal lobe has to be fully developed.
Yeah, we want an adult, and that's what he wants to sign.
Yep, I will sign your forehead, and I'll also give you guys a free hot dog and beer on me.
There you go. Very good. Now, you know what? We're going to just go ahead and say it. The club will give us a scarf. If we got to pay for it, we got to pay for it. But they get a scarf too. like I said, great time with all of that. And that leads us into Friday, which was the opening game of the season. We were playing the Alexandria Rough Diamonds. We were playing them, oddly enough, not in Alexandria, but in Northwest DC at Catholic University. Little bit behind this club. We're gonna walk carefully here because I wish to be both critical but also not offensive. This is the Alexandria Rough Diamonds that are quote a team from Alexandria playing in Washington DC, and their home offices are in East Lowell, Massachusetts.
I'm biting my tongue here so I don't say anything controversial.
When we got there, parking was easy to find, right?
Sorry?
Parking was easy to find, right?
No, I heard you the first time.
Okay, just want to make sure. We definitely drove around the stadium multiple times. There was a parking lot. That parking lot only had one half of its gate open.
Which one? The first one or the second one?
The second one. The one we finally ended up in.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's there was no direct route into the grounds. We actually had to walk through their athletic department, yep. Right? Yeah. That was fun. The ticket person was not honoring comp tickets for families, which of the players, which is supposed to be a thing. They were trying to charge people more than they had already paid for.
Again, biting my tongue here, so I don't say anything yes. controversial.
It was not well organized. There we go. That's the right way to say it, right? It was not well organized, was it at all?
Biting my tongue here.
they did have some banners around the grounds, which was nice. And I mean, they didn't have anybody to recover any balls at all. Might have been we did that. Yeah, we did that. Again, we're gonna be what is that? What's that expression you just used?
Biting my tongue.
Yeah, yep. There we go. That's exactly what we're gonna do. I will say, Bay Boys came out in force. Yep. Bulk of the crowd was Blues heavy, and go ahead and say the score now, and then from there we will pontificate. The final score was 12-0.
Yeah, y'all heard that right.
Yeah. 12-0. Hiram, you got the goal scorers pulled up real quick so we can go ahead and talk about that.
Oh, do I? We have one Brady Jiho, who's our new striker up top. One Luke Dunn, who scored the second goal. Another goal from Brady Jiho made it 3-0. Then the next goal was by Taku Takahashi and made it 4-0.
His first goal ever, apparently.
Yeah, congratulations, Taku. Definitely looking forward to more for you in the season as well. Next goal was apparently an own goal by the Alexandria keeper. Yeah. We assumed it was off of someone else, but it turns out it was an own goal.
It was Mati who had the hit, but yep. It ended up going in off their keeper. And that was going to end the first half. We do have a little interview where our one young hot freshness got to talk with Brady.
All right, here with our starting striker for tonight, Brady. Brady, of course, first match in the NPSL season of joining the Blues. And, of course, adding with that with two goals from tonight. Tell us more about your experience, of course, if you're a new debut tonight.
Amazing experience playing with a whole bunch of new different group of players I've never played with. The chemistry's not there yet, but we're going to get there. It's just a start. I'm like, great fans, amazing atmosphere. It's just going to get better from here.
Of course, and as you mentioned, like with the amazing squad that we have here, building on from like year one onto year two now, we obviously landslide victory from tonight. What do you think are your goals looking into the squad from you personally?
To win again, win the championship, to score goals, and just win, score, bring another championship back home.
Awesome, man. Well, good work tonight, right. And hope to see more from tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
And then we lead ourselves into the second half where Coach decided to, I want to say it was 6 or 7 substitutes we made. I mean, we pretty much switched out almost the entire team.
Oh, we definitely did. And all right, I'm just going to do speed round here. Because from here on,
somebody scored a lot of goals.
It was Jesus. Okay. First goal was off a penalty shot scored by Alec Robleski. He scored the penalty, so that was now 6-0 into the second half. Next goal was from a cross in from one William Hitchcock, who is also a son of our owner as well, too. Mm-hmm. So shout out to yep. you, Hitch. Cross it into one Alec Robleski. Again, make it 7-0 now.
Are you detecting a theme?
Do you want to guess who scored the next goal?
Alex?
Yeah, definitely was Alec Wobolewski who got it now at a hat trick.
Yeah, Alec, yeah.
After, what, 20 minutes into the second half, mm-hmm. off the bench.
And we'll talk a little bit more about formation and play and all of that. But we're just going to recap the goals first, and then we'll get into everything else.
Also, I didn't mention this as well, too. We had a couple assists throughout the match. The last goal I just mentioned was assisted by Luke Dunn. A few of the other goals I mentioned before was assisted by Toshi Davis, who mm-hmm. we also got to speak to later on mm-hmm. as well. Moving on.
Who scored the next one?
Blues Cats, do you guys want to take a guess at who scored the next goal?
It's a mystery to all of us.
Beautiful chip goal by Alec Wobolewski. Again, assisted by Toshi Davis.
That was Toshi dropped a little dinker right over top of the defense. Beautiful. He just ran right in, dink right over. I mean, keeper was in no man's land. There was nothing he could do.
It was just beautiful. Like, the whole setup was definitely a beautiful shot.
So that's four now, right?
Yep, we're at four for Alec. It's at 9-0. Then, not even 3 minutes later, Alex Abril gets it up to 10.
Mm-hmm. Think that was that another Hitchcock assist? I think that was the other one that he did from the outside as well. Yeah, there was multiple times that we scored with playing down the flank and putting the ball into the center of the box and somebody just making sure in their right place, right time, put it away.
Yep. And then the man of the hour brings it to 11 with his fifth. Yes, I said it. Fifth goal off the bench from the second half alone. Alec Wobolewski.
I believe it was Dave Chappelle who said, I plead the fifth. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Fifth.
We have.
That one was nasty.
Oh, my gosh.
He was way too close to the end line and way too far wide to take that ball and put it in the other side of the net.
Best way I could describe it, and this is me as a Chelsea fan, it was awfully similar to how Mudrik scored against, I believe it was Newcastle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was, an intentional cross, but it turned into the back post of the top bin. And finally, to end the goal-scoring spree was Luke Dunn.
It was nasty.
Makes it 12-0. Another assist by one Toshi Davis.
Ripped it into the upper 90s across the goal. And earlier in the match, I think it was him who did the same shot and put it right off of the meat where the crossbar and the post are, yep, like right off that upper 90 spot and conked it out.
I just got chills from reimagining that shot alone. Not the one he scored, the one that got off the woodwork. That one alone was like, jeez.
I stopped counting at over 30 goals. I mean, over 30 shots and over 20 on target. Their keeper easily made 12 saves.
I say 16.
He made a couple of worldies. There was one on Matty in the first half that he, out of nowhere, got fingertips on it and put it over top of the post.
Yeah.
On a fan side, right? This is where we're talking about our team and how our team did. We looked professional, in line in the first half. They were playing a bit of a high press.
Yep.
Their problem was is the midfield didn't know that the front three were playing a high press, so there was a lot of space between what would have been their attack on our defense and their midfield. So essentially from about 25 yards to 35 yards out on our end of the field,
yep,
was wide open for our team.
Easily.
So our defense was able to very easily take care of that pressure. And then the minute we took care of that pressure, we're suddenly now going on them and they're minus three players as we're pressing. And the team just played very clean professional football. But the second half, I mean, there was a change when we made those subs.
It was easily like over 80% possession for the Blues. Just for the whole entire game alone.
Rough Diamonds could not get it past 35 yards.
And it got lucky they did.
If they did, it got taken.
Yeah.
Somebody took the ball. They were swarming everywhere. And for when you're, you know, managing a side, you want competition for places. And you saw a bunch of guys who spent the first half on the bench that went, oh no, we're going to do work now.
Yeah.
And they were just right on them. High pressure, winning every single ball. And this is, I think all of us, and particularly listeners of the show, you think about your kids, right?
Yeah.
12-0 happens. There's a fight in the parking lot between parents, right? Like, show some respect. Don't overdo it. Like, these are adults,
yeah,
right? Be it men or women, you are an adult. You are playing in an adult league. An adult league is run by points.
Right.
Goal differential means something. You can't take the foot off the gas just because the other team is doing poorly. You have to continue to push. Because also, if you take your foot off the gas, you're more likely, your guys are playing lazy, they're playing sloppy, they're more likely to get hurt. And that's the last thing you want, considering that all of these guys are college athletes who have commitments to colleges to go back to. So it's a tough thing to watch, but you understand this is what it is, man. Yeah. It's what it's what it is.
It's just got, I think I, after the chipped goal by Alec, I literally looked at you. I was like, give me the keys. It's time to go home. Give me the keys. Right.
Yeah. It was, we were talking about this on the sidelines. I was actively angry.
Oh yeah. I put in my notes, your blood pressure was rising.
And I'm not angry because it was a blowout. I'm not angry because the other team, I think there's things that they could have done. I'm angry because their organization completely left those guys hanging out to dry.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that we know that we're just simply not going to discuss, you know, because it's not cool to put things out there for people. The organization was not together. Their coaching staff was not together. That 12-0 is not on the men that were on the field. That 12-0 is on the people who were supposed to put them in a better scenario.
Yep.
And we were talking about in the first half how there was just this big open space. In proper footy, the defensive holding midfielder who comes to get that relief pass from one of the defenders, he's getting open. He just gets the ball, turns around, and keeps going up the field. That simply can't stand.
Right.
But if you're a coach of the other team, you put that guy on the ground. Like, you foul him. It's a professional foul. You put an arm in his back, you knock him down on the ground. But what you're doing is essentially letting him know, every time you touch the ball, I'm going to be here.
Right.
Right? You may be faster than me. You may be better than me. You may score a bunch of goals, but you know what? Your ass is going to be, and sorry for using the language, your butt is going to be on the ground.
Yeah.
And you're going to be reminded of that every single time you touch the ball. That's coaching.
Yeah.
A coach on the sidelines needs to say, that's where they're beating us. Stop that.
And I generally think it was all because of the maestro playmaking by Juan Toshi Davis, which we did get to speak to in after the match as well.
And I'm here with tonight's man of the match, in at least my opinion, Toshi Davis. Toshi, of course, quality performance in the first match of the new season. Tell me about the overall squad performance from tonight.
Yeah, Colin reminded us in the first half, like, obviously you look at the score and you're feeling good about yourself, but there's so many details we still have to work on early in the season. Individually reflecting, I had a few turnovers that were frustrating to me, you know, little stuff like that. Like, you got to keep fixing them because Sunday's going to be a big challenge. So, yeah, looking forward to that as well, though.
Absolutely. And then, of course, with your amazing technique around the crowd, with your hat trick of assists, and I believe it might have been 4 assists, if I'm mistaken. Do you see this victory tonight as like a message to the rest of the league as far as like the Blues aren't backing down, like we have more to offer?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everyone's kind of been murmuring about it, and I mean, there's no denying, like, Jacob's not with us this year. He had top goal scorer easily last year. He's a big part of us, but I mean, we move on. We have a lot of guys that we're hopefully going to look back on the season after this year and be really proud of. I feel like we have every piece we need right now. So, like I said before, just keep improving, and yeah, looking forward to the rest of the season.
Awesome, Toshi. Well, good word tonight, and then hope for more in the rest of the season.
Thanks.
Of course, Toshi, he definitely was like the star player of the match as a whole.
Yeah, for not scoring a goal. He had 4 assists, and he basically won everything. Legitimately everything in the middle of the field, it was on his foot.
It's literally because, and yes, Alec definitely did phenomenal scoring the 5 goals, and he took advantage of those chances as well. But we can't not discredit Toshi, what he did in the midfield, especially with that open space he had the entire match as well, too.
Well, and we were talking about earlier in the second half. Now, he played the entire match.
Yeah.
Him, Luke, and Elton played the entire match.
And I believe I'm blanking on the center back's name, but the one who played alongside Elton as well, too.
So all of, you know, the winning of the ball like that, it was Toshi. It was he was doing it all. He was the guy winning everything and then immediately starting the progression forward. Oh, and then of course, just to finish it off and put a cherry on top, we did get to talk to Alec as well.
All right, so we're back here with the first game of the season here with Alec. Alec, tell us about your first game, of course, with the Blues, part of the new season. 5 goals. I should give you my hat for the extra hat trick you got, but tell us more about your NPSL debut from tonight.
Oh, it was great. You know, we got off to a good start, scoring after 10 minutes. The boys were buzzing in the first half. We came in, and then second half, I came in. We all came in and just continued it, and that's it, yeah. The goals kept coming.
And kind of added on to it, as you mentioned, like added on to the second half, of course, with this amazing squad. Coming off the bench with that intensity, keeping up with the pace that you had all the first half, what did coach say in the halftime that pretty much motivated you guys to keep pushing on forward?
Yeah, definitely. At halftime, coach was making sure that we kept our foot on the gas and we kept going, making sure we don't let off, even when the score was 5-0, and making sure we just keep pushing.
Awesome, man. Well, good game. Appreciate your output and hope to see more in the season.
Thank you.
Alrighty, kids. Well, that's going to wrap up the first half of the show. And we are now getting in the car, heading out to Alexandria. Hopefully, Beltway Derby goes our way today. Excited about this match. It is certainly suspect that this will be a much more intense match than what Friday was.
100%, because we talk about this multiple times. The Beltway Derby, the match that we all look forward to, especially going to Alexandria proper and going to their place and pretty much like hopefully putting up dominant performance the same way we did against the Rob Diamonds. But this one will definitely be more grittier, I'm expecting, though.
Perfect. And guys, we will talk to you soon. We are back, boys and girls, and your Annapolis Blues are 2-0, sitting top of the table in the Mid-Atlantic division of the NPSL, because we went to Alexandria Reds and got the win, 1-0.
Yeah, we did. It definitely was a thrilling and intense match, but oh, so worth it to get that win against them at their home place as well, too.
Yeah, it was a great turnout. We had a good contingency of supporters there, not just parents, obviously a bunch of the Bay Boys, but a good just overall contingency. Some families made the trip out today, which was great to see. This game was intense. Now, I would not go so far as to say it was flat out chippy like the last two times we played them last season, but Reds had a mission. They were going to frustrate us. They were going to be physical. They were going to do the gamesmanship. This is what we talked about with them last year. And frankly, if the ref's going to let you get away with it, I'm not going to hate on you for doing it. If you've got a team who's better in possession than you are, which the Blues are, give them a hard time. Don't make it comfortable. Make it hard on them.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we did pretty much, because like, I'm pretty sure that coach definitely gave him some words of encouragement to tell him not to bite and not to react too much to it, even though we knew it was coming because they've done this in previous games before.
Yeah.
But still, don't bite to their overreactions or their like extreme aggressive nature that they were going to bring to us.
Right. The ref's going to see the second foul. The ref's not going to see them push you in the back. The ref is going to see you take a swing at them.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to see. And the boys did a great job. First half, very cagey, very back and forth. Frankly, the better opportunities probably fell to the Reds despite us really dominating possession.
At least in the first half, I would say. Yeah. Only because it was very 50-50 throughout the entire match itself. But during the first half it's alone, I think the Reds were definitely more attack heavy, but they were still like maintaining the midfield throughout the battle.
So this was, and obviously we'll have the interview with coach at the end of the show here, you know, to kind of wrap up what we're doing. But after we were done with the interview, we kind of talked a little bit about that. And, you know, I mentioned it was like, felt like the defense just wasn't winning tackles. And then he told us about one of the new coaches that actually just handles statistics and able to give them in time, real statistics, what's happening. And they talked about the 6 opportunities that they had. And of those 6 opportunities, 5 were off of turnovers from us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the way that they corrected it at halftime is to stop giving up the easy mistakes, right? Stop making the dumb pass, make the smart pass. Don't put yourself in those scenarios. And that explains a lot of why it, you know, it felt like the defense was on their heels multiple times.
Right.
And I said, for me, what I was looking for was maybe kind of a harder tackle, get in, win a ball. But Alexander did a hell of a job getting past us. That was for darn sure.
And they used that caginess and that intense battle throughout their entire match, but more so in the first half, of course. Specifically, I think it was their number 10 and also 23 who were very aggressive, but very much like leading the way as far as the midfield battle as well.
And for those of you who were there last season, you certainly remember number 10 at in the championship game. He was the one that did the Ronaldo jump and bounce and point at his number after he scored the go-ahead goal in that match.
Yep.
Because Gordy had done that when he scored the first goal of the match. He had scored both their goals and was very much the instigator in that match. He was very much the instigator in this match, too. Like, every foul, he was right in front of the ref. He is the captain's armband, so he's right in front of the ref.
Yep.
Yapping away the whole time, standing on top of the ball, not letting the Blues take a free kick. Again, it's the gamesmanship. It's, for those of you who were there, it's not fun to watch. It's annoying, but it's part of the game. And for some teams, that's what works. And when you're, like I said, a team like ours who's so great on possession, you frustrate them.
Yep.
Frustrate them. Don't let them feel comfortable. And if they don't feel comfortable, suddenly they're worrying about what you're doing, what you're saying to the ref. They're now yelling at the ref and they're not doing their job. And that was very good on the Blues to not have that happen. But somebody had themselves a heck of a first half in the net, huh?
Safe to say that we discredit Griff and Griffin's great work from last season, but Owen definitely stepped up for this game for sure.
Owen had a phenomenal match.
Oh yeah, and he's been doing great also leading up to this match as well too. But and we got a chance to speak with him later on as well.
Here again with the Annapolis Blues, here joined by Owen Allegro, of course, back-to-back clean sheets in the last two matches, of course, against the Rough Diamonds and now here against the Reds. Gritty battle, of course. What advantage do you guys say you had over them throughout the entire match?
So I'd say you could ask any guy on the team and they'd give you the same answer. This team is just narrowed together. Everybody's close to each other. Everybody fights for each other. One person goes down, everybody's picking them up. It's just, for a team that's been together for 2-3 weeks, you can't teach that stuff. It's the love of the game. Keeps us all together. We just keep fighting for each other.
Fantastic. And then, of course, we know about the rivalry, the Beltway Derby, of course, against the Reds, as we did last season. Tough battle, one loss, and then, of course, the final, obviously. With us finally get that win over them in regular time, how important was that win for us?
I mean, it's huge. It's the beginning of the season. We're going second season this year. So we're not thinking ahead yet. We're taking it one game at a time. Two games so far, two wins. That's all you can hope for.
Awesome, man. Well, definitely to me, you're definitely our priority of the match. So good work out there today, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, take care, man.
Great interview from him, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It is very spot on. Talking about the continuity of the team was just perfect. Yeah, really perfect. And first half comes to an end. Like we said, they adjusted. They got themselves a little bit better prepared. The Reds came out even feistier in the second. And their one player, number 10, their captain, he, I'd say a good 7 hard fouls before he finally got a yellow card.
Yeah.
It was almost like he was just going to keep doing it till he saw the card.
I think, and we didn't even mention this previously, but also prior to the, not even 20 minutes in, at 20 minutes in, there was already a yellow card called on by the number 22 or 23.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And it was a very rough foul, sort of say. I mean, I don't know if he tugged him by his collar or by his hair, but he definitely pulled on something that caused one of our, I think it was our left back to kind of fall back in. Kind of not have any control about his motion at all, but
yeah it was a bad tackle.
Even with that though, like fast forward to the second half as well too, like the number 10 was definitely cagey and also causing a lot of chaos in the midfield, like hard fouls, a lot of push and shoving, which you expected in this match too, of course, but at the same time, like, you had to know there's a certain limit you have.
Early on, Reds definitely were pushing the narrative, but by about the 70th minute, you could start to see their legs were starting to fade, even with the subs. Our subs came in direct, made direct impact into the match, and it just, I like what the team was doing as a whole. It just, there's, and Coach will get into it a little bit later when we talk about when we do the interview, was, you know, the depth of this team. There are guys who played a lot last year who did not play in this match at all, who weren't even on the roster, you know, because there was the opportunity. There's that much depth that we're able to give people breaks and let them rest, which you and I both have hinted at as well. I mean, not for nothing, they played 3 matches in 5 days.
Yeah.
Like, you can only ask so much of those guys. Their bodies are going to be killing them, you know? Certainly do the ice baths tomorrow, boys. Do the ice baths on Monday. But in the 80th minute, we finally broke through.
My man Leo definitely came in. Also, give shout out to Leo because he was pulling the strings all throughout the midfield as well, and the mm-hmm. defensive side as well. And right at the perfect time, perfect moment, corner kick came in from Mati, and then perfectly positioned to get a header. And then, of course, we got a chance to speak with him about not only the game in the midfield, but also his amazing goal to get the win.
I'm here with Leo Paloma after an intense and incredible battle against Alexandria Reds. Leo, first of all, great performance today, especially with your work in the midfield, of course. If you're pulling the pieces on the defensive side on the midfield, how intense do you think that battle was throughout the entire match?
It's a big battle. You know, we play with 2 10s. We usually have a holding 6. Today we had to change to 2 6s because, you know, they were pretty aggressive in the midfield, and it's just a tough battle. That's the way they want to play, but we just have to stick to the way we play and just not get into those intensive heat battles that they want.
And not only, of course, you put in the work in defensively, you also got the game-winning goal for the match as well. So, of course, to seal the game, how great did that feel to finally get that win over against the Reds?
Felt good. I think this is the first time that I've been here that we worked on set pieces in training. So to see that come off in a game was fun. It was fantastic.
Awesome, man. Well, great work out there today. I hope you do great for the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Another fantastic interview. The boys were on. It's funny. He brings up the practicing set pieces. Mm-hmm. Because what have I been groaning about for the past 5 days with you?
Nothing but set pieces.
I was like, I am not happy with anything they're doing on corner kicks. And they did a little work and boom, what happened? Goal. So coach is simpatico with me. He knows what I'm thinking. He's like, you know what? Big Sam's not happy with the way set pieces are going. We're going to go ahead and have, we're going to work on set pieces because that'll make Big Sam happy.
Oh yeah. He knows exactly what you're looking for.
And then from there, honestly, tables got turned a little. The Blues started, kind of letting the clock run down and taking time, and one guy going to throw in the ball, put the ball on the ground, walk away. Somebody else throws the ball. I always love that gamesmanship in that regard. Mm. On the DU football show, we use a much different word. It has to do with housery is what we'll say.
Yep.
But family show here. The level of doing that when a team has been doing it to you the entire time is so satisfying because then they cry like they haven't been doing it the whole game. And they're just, referee, they're stalling, referee, they're doing that, blah, 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 blah. And from there was already at that point 4 red cards, but I think there was another 5 in basically the last 15 minutes of the match.
So, and of course, I'm taking notes because that's what a good journalist does for every match, of course.
Because we're members of the press.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Exactly. We're not just here to have fun with people.
Professionals.
Following just Leo's goal itself, there was 5 yellow cards.
Mm-hmm.
Just from the 80th minute to the 90 plus.
It was chippy. Oh, it was chippy.
Yeah. And that's from both Blues and Red sides alone. So it's not just only on the Reds, but it definitely was very chippy between both sides.
Borderline. We could have saw red on one. There was a coming together that was real hard and spikes were up, and we could have definitely saw a red for it. It ended up being a yellow. And then the striker who came in for Brady, forgive me for not remembering his name, was wearing the number 9.
Locke
came in, got through, and got really yanked down hard.
Yeah.
But there was another defender enough in the vicinity to not make it final defender. But if that defender wasn't there, that could have been a red card for final defender too. So
there was a lot of final defender style or type of fouls being played on the field, but at the same time, like, they just got lucky with it. And the ref was very, and we mentioned this at the same time, Rev was a bit inconsistent with some of the calls, but he did make some of the correct calls for sure.
So it's really hard. So you think of for all of us, and we chatted about this a little bit last year. We watch the EPL and we watch MLS, and we're just kind of used to, there being VAR and eye in the sky, and these guys, they're trained professionals. Yes, the referees who ref these matches are trained professionals. Mm. they have other jobs.
Yeah.
Like, they are human. There is no VAR to help them. It is the two linesmen, the fourth official and the man in the center. And it's not like they got headsets to communicate to one another like the professionals do. Like, there's a lot of things that just aren't there. So when we kind of get, you know, up in our feelings and get big mad, you know, that's, we got to remember, it's one guy with one set of eyes. Like, yeah, that's, they can only do so much. And yeah, there's just going to be inconsistencies. What you hope for is that there aren't drastic inconsistencies. And I feel like that wasn't the case today. There was definitely, he'd let some really hard fouls go without cards, but then he would call some really soft fouls too. And you're just kind of like, it doesn't feel like you're being fair on this, but still was, excellent game. An additional 5 minutes added. The bench was being kind of rowdy too, which I thought was fantastic. Especially just, again, it was the Reds were giving it.
Right.
So when the opportunity came to give it back, boys gave it back. And I did not hate that. I did not hate that at all. And the Bay Boys had the blue smoke flares going off and the flags waving and the singing. It was very perfect. It was just, and whistle blows and we get a win. We finally beat the Reds in 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finally get that win.
And also shout out to all the Blues cast who showed out to the game as well. Not only just the families, but also the traveling fans as well. You guys definitely were a big boost to the win today too. Yeah.
Oh, the boys were fired up when they scored that goal. The entire team went in front of the Bay Boys, who were smacking hands with everybody. It was big. You could tell that emotional release for them. You could tell the supporters helped push them over the finish line.
100%.
It was absolutely the case. And of course, we finally at the end we got to sit down and chat with Coach.
And finally, here with the gaffer here after a phenomenal win against the Reds. Coach, of course, tough week that we had, three games, three wins, of course, with the Community Shield, the game against the Rough Diamonds, and then here today. What is it that you said to the team that led your team to victory to, of course, scale up the Reds?
So in regards to the three games, we've got a pretty deep squad this year. So you've probably seen that we utilised the full squad against the Bobcats. Everybody was involved, and then we rotated the squad on Friday night and then again today. So everybody's played a part. We kept things pretty fresh. And then for us, it was kind of the same message as last year. We focus on the process and the performance, the process being training and how we want to work, and then obviously the performance, the games. And it seems to me as though we're just going up levels game by game. So, yeah, loads of positives.
And then, of course, with the intense rivalry, I spoke to this about to Owen about like how intense and the rivalry that we had with the Reds. What was it that you think we had the advantage over them from today?
For us, it was just about control your emotions. Don't make the game any bigger than it needs to be. It might be a big game, obviously, for the opposition. But for us, it was like, let's come here. Let's control the controllables and let's get a good away win against a conference rival.
And then with them being, of course, our rivals, of course, last season they beat us at home in the regular season. And then we got the win over them, of course, after penalties and extra time in the championship. To finally get that win and then with the regular time, how does that feel for you guys?
Yeah, good. Particularly with having such a young team. There's a lot of young guys today that played in this game for the first time. But we kind of challenged them before the game, and that's another good thing for us. They rose to that challenge. We said last year, we obviously lost the regular season game 2-1. And obviously everybody knows about the conference final, what happened there. It was 2-2 in regulation. So we challenged them tonight to come to their home field, have a positive performance, but then also get a positive result. And the guys done that.
Awesome, Coach. Well, of course, great performance today and hope for more success in the season.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for all the support.
Like I said, simpatico. Oh, like, no. Coach knows what I'm thinking. You know, as the unofficial assistant GM, general manager, tactician, scouting manager, everything of the club, I like to say that, you know, Coach knows what I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah. Also, you guys definitely have one off the conversations off the pitch. Be like, hey, so Sam, so... Did we do this right? Yeah, job killing it.
Yeah. Good job, Coach. Affirmation, Coach. I got you. It was a fabulous game. Certainly talking with him about the unity of the boys this early in the season as well, that it's great to see. This is a massive match. If the way things should play, this does not mean this is the way things are going to happen, but the way things should play, this should be the championship game. Yep. This is 1A and 1B. These are the two best teams in the league.
Yeah.
And they know how to play against each other very well. Like, the Reds know how to push our buttons. The Reds know how to make us pay. So that, like, there's a team that I feel could beat us, because again, anybody can beat anybody any day of the week. Anybody can win. There's a team that worries me. It's the Reds. And that was a big answer today for the boys.
I mean, so far they are the only team within our conference, at least, that's beaten us so far. Right. So they have the only one who could prove something.
Yeah. So 2-0.
Yeah.
Already plus 13 goal differential.
Can we just clap it up for, of course, the Blues in general? Because 3 games, 16 goals, only 1 goal given away.
Yep.
In 3 games in 5 days. That's incredible. Shout out to you guys.
Yeah, great, great job. Hiram, why don't you pull up the stats from around the league so we can just see what all happened with the other matches.
I will do. This, of course, is the rest of the league, the rest of the league requiring from this past Wednesday on the 15th. The NPSL also kicked off on a Wednesday as well, where Virginia Dream faced off against Alexandria Reds at Meridian High School, which is the home of Virginia Dream. They unfortunately lost 1-2, where Alexandria Reds got the win over them. Of course, as you heard earlier, the Annapolis Blues went to Alexandria Rough Diamonds in DC, which is a Massachusetts team.
Mm-hmm.
Faced off against them.
So many thoughts.
Yeah. Of course, we got the 12-0 win over them, as you may have heard earlier. For Virginia Beach City, they went up against Grove United, lost 3-0 at home. Then following that was FC Frederick, and what I believe is the upset win over DMV Elite, where they won 2-1.
Yeah, expect some pretty big things from DMV Elite. They've got a pretty good program set up. They've got some really good talent that they've brought in as well. So keep an eye on them. An eye on them. If there's going to be a kind of that third team that could mess with the two of our days, that would be the club, to be quite honest with you.
I agree.
Kind of take that spot that Greenville had since they went down to the Southern Division.
Yep.
Oh, that is going to wrap it up, boys and girls. Hiram, any parting words?
Just keep supporting the Blues. You can either buy the merch, get season tickets, do whatever you can, wave a flag, high five a T-Rex, do whatever you got to do. But make sure you support the Blues at all costs, and also support the podcast by subscribing to us as well.
Thank you very much, everybody. And until next week,
up the Blues!
The Naptown Blues podcast is produced by Melissa Houston and DU Public House Productions. And remember, all opinions expressed here are those of the hosts and are not reflective of the Annapolis Blues organization.